Hey everybody, welcome to Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly, on 105.3 New Orleans, UPRN Talk Radio. And how was everybody's week? My week was great. I had a lot of little things happen, paranormal, and it was like driving me crazy. Okay. It was really, really driving me crazy because everybody knows that when it comes around to Halloween, that the veil is thin, okay? Which means the ghosties are out. And they, like, really communicate with or try to communicate or try to just drive you nuts. And today, this past week, they were driving me nuts. But that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, a little bit about how ghosts drive you nuts. Okay. I know that when we do Chasing Prophecy, Trish Moe, you know, she always sees somebody behind me all the time. And, you know, I really don't want to see, I don't want to see it, but I do want to see it. Sometimes I feel it, but I don't. But I do trust what people see. I hope that sounded okay. But October is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful month for me. The leaves are changing. Everybody's happy. And it, you know, the hoodies and the campfires and stuff like that. And it just seems like when I have a rough summer, you know, and then a lot of crap happened to me during the summertime and working too hard, and, you know, it was a hot year up here in Pittsburgh. And then all of a sudden October comes and it just seems like it just like drapes over all the negativity, all the bad things that had happened to me from January up until October. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this, so I'm just going to keep talking. Whatever comes into my mind is going to come into my mind. And I'm okay with that. And I hope you guys are too. But October, it is the busy season for Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. A lot of, we get a lot of investigations going on. We do a lot of speaking engagements. And, you know, I like I said in a couple shows, you know, I really, really would like to teach people or help people understand why spirits exist, you know. And it's just not, you know, a lot of people say, well, how much do you charge for an investigation, or how much you charge for this, or how much you charge for that? And I don't charge. I mean, I believe that Sean's screwed me, you know, all of a sudden bells are going off. So, you know, so I've got distracted, but I want to help people. I don't charge because I believe that God gave me this gift to help people not take their money. I remember when I really started to do readings and, I started working for one of them psychic hotlines, okay? And I'm not going to tell you which one. I don't even know if they're still in business or not. But so one night I had a call from a lady, and I gave her an hour reading. I'm not going to get into figures or how much she charged, but it was how much, you know, she paid. But I gave her an hour reading, and like 5 minutes later, she calls me back and she wanted another reading. And I could not give her a reading. And it's not because I couldn't feel anything from her. And it's not because, you know, I picked up a little bit more that I missed on the last reading. The thing was for me, was how much money she was paying for these psychic readings. And I just looked at her. I just talked to her and I said, you know what? I can't read you no more. And I said, I got to go. And I hung up. Now, when I hung up on her, I kind of felt bad about it. But then again, I knew how much money she was charging. They were charging her. And I just could not see her paying that much because it was a lot of money. And so at that moment, the minute that I hung up on it, I said no. Because God gave me this gift to help people. He gave me this gift to help people, not to take their monies. Because I will be honest with you. Honest to gosh, I'll be honest with you. I could be a rich millionaire by now. And I'm not exaggerating. I could be. But I don't want to go it that way. You know, I mean, I've learned to do this kind of work with pure humility. And to me, humility is huge. Because without humility, and you always have an ego and stuff like that, it just doesn't get you nowhere. You know, at one time, I'll be honest with you, when I really first got into the spirit thing, I did have an ego. And it was a really, really bad thing for me to have because I was an ignorant SOB. I didn't care about people. The only person I cared about was myself. And I figure I had the whole world by the balls. And you know what? It's funny how spirit works in mysterious ways. Because whenever I would get that ego, spirit would just say, okay, I'm going to screw your life up for a while. And spirit did. But it's like, and did I learn my lesson? No, I don't. I never did. And I kept being that ignorant SOB. And I just got tired of getting beat up by spirit. So I started to get real humble with myself. And then when I started that, then I got into how, when, let me rephrase that, I'm stumbling over my words because, like I said, there's a lot of bells going off here. But what happened was when I realized that if I did this with pure humility and not an ego, then my gifts became a lot stronger than what they were. And it's so much, you know, people want money, this money, 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 money. But for me, when I would help a person out and I would just see a smile on their face or get a hug or someone writing me an email saying thank you for what you did, to me, that's bigger than money. You know, because money, yeah, it's pretty good. You definitely need it now. But you know what? It's not bad to hurt. It doesn't hurt to help somebody, you know? And I know I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again. It should not hurt you to help somebody. And for me, in that situation, it just seems like the more I help people, the more was put on my plate by spirit. And one day I'm going to write a book and I'm just going to mention it all. How my story went. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm a procrastinator. So I don't really like to do a lot of things at one time. But back to Halloween. I like to talk a little bit about Halloween. And before I get going, before, you know, I'm going to be honest with everybody here. I am not prepared for tonight. I wasn't. I had a busy week at work. So I hope you can just sit back and relax and enjoy what I have to say. Because, like I said before, I don't know what I'm going to say. But back to having October, it to me, it really is gorgeous. It just seems like there's love in the air. There is peace in the air. And it just makes me feel loved, you know. Look, I mean, come on, go out in the woods and all of a sudden you've seen the trees, trees changing with their leaves, and you've seen the animals, all the deer running out in the middle of the road, or just soaking in like fresh air. I mean, that's just like, it's very, very calming to me. And also what's really cool is looking at all the Halloween decorations going on. Everybody, you know, putting decoration lights, Halloween lights out on in the front yard or doing up their house, and all them little haunted houses that people go to where people jump out and scare you. You know, I could never figure why people like going to there. Do they like to be scared? I don't know. I ran one for a couple years and I never really thought about it. Let me ask you guys out there. Do you go to these haunted houses that people jump out and scare you? If you do, you know, kind of leave a comment, tell me all about it, and maybe we can come up with an answer with it. Like I said, we did have some investigations going on, and I want to talk about the one we had this past weekend. Now, in Pittsburgh, we have, there's a town called Uniontown. And every year they have what you call your ghost walk. And what it is that, you know, the town, it was very haunted, and they had like a lot of urban legends going on over there. And they do like a little ghost tour. And on the last tour, we were at DeMarco's. It's a bistro cantina. And for the last 10 years, we have been down there. And since it's the last stop, the building's pretty big, and we hold little mini and paranormal investigations there for the people who took the tour. So this past weekend, it was great. Friday night, I mean, it rained. It rained and it was soaking wet. But you know what? A lot of people showed up. And what was really, really cool about it, they were all brand new people that were going on this tour. I think they had like about 10 people that did the tour before. But it was funny because they would come up and I would sit there and I would talk to them before I'd send them up on the third floor. And they were just so excited. I mean, some had attitudes, some didn't, some were scared, some weren't. But you know what? They asked a lot of questions. And for me, sit there and just like, wow, you know, they're brand new questions about ghosts, and they show me pictures on their phones about they think is an orb or if it was a spirit or something like that. And it was good to interact with them. So that was Friday night, and Saturday night it was even better because we had all kinds of brand new people down there doing the same thing. We did the mini investigations. Now, on the third floor on top of DeMarco's, the third floor was an old brothel. And when you go up toward the third floor, there is an old lady up there, and we call her Madame, however you want to say it. And she was in charge of the girls that worked up there. Prostitutes or hookers, whoever you want to call them, tell them what they ask, think what they are. But we were up there, And she hates men. It's no shit. She hates men. And she's up there to protect the girls. And so I remember Friday evening we went up there, and the owner, Jared, he came up with us. And we broke out our equipment. We had our little ghost box there with it going. And he actually asked her a question, and she answered it through the ghost box. You should have just seen this Jared's eyes, man. He was just like all lit up, man. I need to have that. I need to have that. I need to have that. And then what else was cool was Jessica, she was going through the third floor, and you know, I have a trail cam. I set up trail cams, and I had it set up, and Jessica walks through the door, and there she is taking photos with her phone, and all of a sudden, you know, and I am going to put this up whenever I can figure out how to do it. But what happened was, as she was moving to the side, all of a sudden you see this like apparition just come around. And I was like, wow, there was a ghost on this camera. And I got it on video. It was great. It was so cool. So it was a good weekend. A lot of good food. If you want, you know, a good food, and if even if you ask Jared if you wanted to go up to the third floor, I'm sure he'll let you up. But there was a lot of ghosts up there, a lot of female ghosts. There was like eight of them, eight or more. And so that was our investigation for the weekend. And I had the opportunity a week before that to go on another investigation. This lady called me up, and she said that she knows that she has ghosts in her house. And so I went over there, and we had our own investigation over there, me and her family. And it was like really, really cool because we got a lot of activity going on the cameras and on the EVPs and stuff like that. So it wasn't bad. It just like, it was just really, really nice. So that was it. And November's coming up, and I don't know what's going to be happening in November, you know, but all I know is that I have just for today. You know, all I got is today. I don't have, tomorrow's not here yet, and yesterday was in the past. So, you know, I got to deal with what I have today. So, you know, it was funny. I was at work. I'm going to get off a little subject here a little bit. I was at work, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are angry out there. A ton of people who are angry. And why? Why do we need to be angry? Why can't we just smile every now and then? Why can't we just tell somebody, hey, you look good. Hey, look at that hair. I remember I worked at the post office one time, and, you know, where I was working at, I was a window clerk. So I saw this lady getting out of her car, and I tell you what, she was ready for a fight. She really was ready for a fight. You could see her slamming her door, stomping her feet, coming into the mill. And I'm praying to God. I'm like, please don't come to me. Guess what happened? She came to me. And before she could even get a word out, I just said to her, I'm like, you know, your hair looks really nice. Did you just get it done? And that little sentence, that little question I told that lady, completely changed her frown to a smile. You know? And I had many, many experiences working as a window clerk. There is one post office I worked at, and it's mainly a Jewish community. And at that time, I was like 6'2", and I weighed over 300 pounds, and I had a short haircut. And all of a sudden, you know, this girl comes up, And all of a sudden, this girl comes up and she's shaking in her shoes. And I'm saying, "What's wrong, hon? What's wrong? How can I help you?" You know, and then being nice to her, and she stuttered. She couldn't see me. She didn't want to see me. But she got scared. But I treated her with respect. And I said, "You know, can I help you? Come on, give a smile." You know what I mean? And I was nice to her. Yes, it's part of my job for customer service of being nice to the person. But you know what? She smiled. She smiled. And she said, I'm afraid of you. And I said, "Why are you afraid of me?" And she said, and then she told me the rumor, because I had a short haircut, I was tall and I was white that day, everybody in that community would reminded them of me as a, what happened back in the Jewish, back in with Germany. And I said, "Honey, my name is Sean Kelly, and I am Irish. I'm not German." And she just had the biggest smile on her face. The biggest smile. And she relaxed. So it don't hurt to be nice. It does not hurt to be nice. And also in the paranormal, you know, field, you have to be nice. You can't go around with an ego. Not one group is better than another group. And they all know it. But what really pisses me off about that is that there are a lot of groups out there that are like, they start bragging or saying bad things about another group, and that's full crap, you know. If anyone who wants to call me on it, please do, you know. I think there should be paranormal unity. I believe that every paranormal group should help another paranormal group. What's it all about? To get the best picture, to get the best video, to have websites and TV shows and stuff like that. I tell you what, I had TV shows. Raw Fair, Paranormal Pittsburgh. I was on one major TV show, which I didn't like because the producer told me what to do. I couldn't use my gifts, I couldn't use my ability. And it's TV, you know? Wow, so I do better being on this little podcast here than I did on TV. I mean, was I proud of my shows? Yes, I was. Cost a lot of money. But you know what? I got the word out. But I offered other groups if they wanted to tag on, they wanted to help. I wanted to help, you know, let's get involved. Let's have some unity here. Let's share pictures. Let's share ideas. Why do you have to be so egotistical about it? You can just sit back and listen to other groups. One of these days before I die, I really want to have a big round table and have all the paranormal groups on. Most of them are the ones that want to come on. And we'll sit down and talk. I want that to happen. I want all paranormal groups to get together. But you know what? It's not going to happen. Because you're going to still have people there who have egos and stuff like that. And they think they're the best beside, you know, peanut butter and jam. That's not fair. No. When I investigate, when my team investigates, we investigate because A, we want to have fun. B, we want to help the people. And C, we learn more when we go out, you know. And at one point in time, there were a lot of groups that didn't like my group, and I could never figure out why. And then one day I did, and it was all about orbs. Orbs. You know what I mean? Orbs. See, they didn't believe in orbs because orbs weren't allowed to be believed. And they weren't ghosts. They were mildew, dust, all kinds of shit. And I believed in the orbs. And a lot didn't. And that's why they didn't like me, because I was like the renegade, you know, the black sheep of the family and the paranormal. But as I went on, when you look at the orbs, okay, you're looking at orbs like outside, for instance, right? Take a picture and there's all these little orbs hanging around, flying around. But you know what? The majority of that's pollen. The majority of that is bugs. And even in the house. You know, there's dust in the house. No matter how clean your house is, you're going to have dust. And when you take pictures in the house, you're going to get dust. Or little dust mites or whatever they are, but whatever's flying through the air, you know, and they do look like orbs. But the orbs that I really, really take a liking to are the ones that are big, bright, round, and pure white like the moon. And when you get a picture like that as evidence or on your camera, whatever, you get something like that, then I have no doubt my mind is spirit, because spirit is energy. But see, according to a certain TV show, orbs didn't exist. You know, so it's just like, but I did. And that made me different from other people, other groups. Sure, a lot of people had a problem with it, but you know what? I didn't care, because what I believed in my heart was the spirit, and it was the spirit. I have seen so much stuff now doing this for the last 16, 17 years with PPS. I have seen some good stuff. I've seen some bad stuff. I've seen some really, really, really bad stuff. But you know what? The friendships that I make, ever since I did start doing this, they're great, you know? And it's all because I treated them with respect. And everybody else should treat people with respect, you know? I'm just telling you how I am with me. So tonight, like I said, I'm jumping all over the place. So tonight on Chasing Prophecy, we had two psychics, and they were very, very, very good. We were a very busy team. We had a really busy show. And if you're looking at this thing, originally what I wanted to dress up is the Invisible Man. I could have done that, but I didn't. And then my brother came up and gave me this dragon cloak. And this is what I wore. But you know what? It's Halloween. It was our Halloween show. And it was a very, very good show. I just like listening. When you know, watching the people getting readings done by our psychics tonight. And some were smiling, some weren't smiling. But you know what? They helped. They help people out. And that's fire engine. A lot of pictures. And I'm just like really like kind of getting blanked out here. And I hope you guys don't run away from this. But I hope you all still hang in there. But it was a good show. With my mental health, I have to say, after 2 weeks now, 3 weeks now taking the pill, it's getting a lot better. You know, I can handle life on life's terms. That was a biggie. I can do that now. And I really, really feel a lot better. But what it has done for me was, like, before I started taking the medication, my world was like stressed out because I was constantly on the move. I was constantly helping other people out. I was doing every other thing, but the only thing that I did not do was to help myself out. I didn't help me. And it got to the point where I got really, really, really stressed out and depressed. And I went to my doctor and I got the pills, and they're antidepressants. And my life became a little bit better. Now, I know it's going to take a long, long time to get it to where I need to be. And I know probably that I'm going to have to take these for the rest of my life. But I'm okay with it. You know, I'm definitely okay. There's another thing I want to share privately with you. I have been sober for 30 years now. And January 21st. 2022, I will have 31 years. And that was, it's been a wild ride, wild, crazy ride. I've been drug free for 32 years now. And to go through with all the stuff that I went through up till now, I really had a problem understanding my spirituality at the beginning of this, until I started to go to AA meetings. And if there's anybody out there that really truly needs help, call your local AA place, you know, and the, you know, they're there to help you, because they helped me out a lot. And I'm okay with that, because 30 years, that's a lot of years without a drink. Am I proud of myself? Yeah, I am really, really proud of myself. But you know what? At the beginning, I did it for my son. You know, it wasn't about me. It was for my son. And I'll tell you how my higher power, who I wish to call God right now, to this day. I remember one time I was really, really having a bad day. They were going to foreclose on our house. My son was, what, 3 at the time. And so I was off from work, and it was time for his nap. So I laid him in bed, and so he could take his nap. And I got a phone call from the bank. No, our lawyer, saying that they're going to foreclose on him in the house because we haven't paid the rent for 3 months. And it was really bothering me at the time, because I was just newly sober. I had like a couple years in. And after I hung up, I tried calling my sponsor. I tried calling people, and you know what? I couldn't get a hold of anybody. So I was like really, really down. And so I went in and I laid down in bed with my son. And it was really crazy, because he woke up right away and he said to me, "Dad, it looks like you need a hug." 3 years old. He said, "Dad, it looks like you need a hug." And he gave me a hug. "Thank you, Og." And then he said to me, "Daddy, let me hold your hand. I will babysit you." And this is coming from a 3-year-old. And I'm telling you what, it just really, really made me feel good. And I know my boy was only 3, but I know that was my higher power working through me to calm my ass down, because I know what I was like whenever I would go crazy. I knew I would have taken a drink. And that wouldn't have been good, because I wasn't a good person when I drank. I wasn't. And then as time went on, you know, and just not taking a drink, you know, for me, it was pure humility. I had to sit down, shut my mouth, you know, and listen and listen to people. Listen to people who have sobriety. Listen to people who have stories, you know? Listen to their problem. You know, and when you listen to them, you're thinking, you know, my stories were bad. My story's worse than that one, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Here's the deal with that. You know what? They're in the same boat as I was because they can get in recovery. I remember one time I was at a meeting and it was down at a hospital here. And this guy, it was a big meeting Friday night. And this guy got up and he was drunk. And everybody in the meeting is making fun of him, you know, telling him to sit down, telling him to leave, telling him to shut up. I did, Jen. I did. I am a sponsor. And thank you, though. He got up and he was really, really drunk. And everybody is like screaming at him. And another guy came up and said, "What the hell are y'all doing? What are you doing to this guy? Why are you saying this shit? You're ignorant." He said, everybody was ignorant. And he said, "This is where he needs to be. He needs to be in AA. He needs to be at this meeting because he's drunk. He came here for the help, you know?" And that goes to show me too, that at the time when I saw this, that people thinking they got sobriety, okay, no, they got ignorant, they got an ego, and it just doesn't work that way. So if I put my way of life, the way, you know, let me rephrase that. So if I ever got like that, I wouldn't want people, I would feel bad if it got to a point where I would treat somebody like that. I couldn't do it. And so I learned a big lesson. I learned a really, really big lesson on that. And it was good. It was a good lesson. But I do want to share one more AA story with you. And this was like really, really cool. My son was just born, and every year the AA has a 24-hour Christmas party here in Pittsburgh. And so my son, he was a baby, and his mom took him down to Columbus to see her brother. And I was all alone because I had to work the next day. I had to work on Christmas. And whenever that happened, I got really depressed. But I went to this meeting, and it's something because my favorite Christmas movie is Ebenezer Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. And my favorite ghost is Jacob Marley, the very first one. He's the deal. He's the deal. And so I was getting about 11:45, and went home because I had to go to work the next day. And as I get home, it's about, 5 to midnight, you know, almost Christmas Day. So I sat down, turned the TV on, listened to some carols, you know, and I had some iced tea, and then I went to bed. And then all of a sudden, as I lay in my bed, my phone goes off. Now my phone, had bells. It was like a bell sound. And if you remember in, Jacob Marley in the first, when he came to see Ebenezer, he rang all the bells. And I woke up and I said, "Oh my God, here he is. Here's Jacob Marley." And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm like really freaking out. And so I answered the phone. And you know what? It was my sponsoree, the guy I was sponsoring, calling to sell and see if I was okay. And that's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. One person checking up on another person. And I think everybody should be able, should shouldn't do that. You know, there's no need for anger. There's no need for hate. There is no place to hate anybody. You should go out and just say hi. Give somebody a hug or make them smile. And I can guarantee it. You know, I bet the house that if we could have one day to where there was no anger, and that everybody treated you with respect, you treated them, everybody just got along for one day, that would be a miracle. You know, no fighting for one day. Who wants to fight? All it does is bring people down, and it gets angry, and then you get ulcers. And then when you get the ulcers, your stomach hurt, you can't eat, you start losing weight, and you're like, oh, hell. And I miss my buffets. But everybody should at least try to love one another. You don't have to say it to them. You don't. You don't have to say you love them and blah, blah, blah. But just, you know, deep down in your heart, love them with your heart. And I can guarantee it, the more people that you love with your heart, the more love you're going to get back. And your life is going to be great. You know, I really wish, like I said before, I really wish that I hope that one day that everybody could just get along. You know, I'm wishing, you know, I'm not giving up on it because I do believe one day it will happen. You know, whenever you're taking out the little kitties for Halloween, make sure they say thank you. You know, make sure you don't pressure them into being scared going to a house. You know, if they ask you questions, that's a biggie. If they ask you questions about a certain monster or a certain decoration, explain it to them. Don't make fun of them. Do not make fun of them. Explain to them. Because what you tell them will probably mess with your life, what life, you know, with your brains, and who knows what would happen. You know, so, and this one thing, let me see, yeah, we got a little bit more time. But I would like to give this advice to parents or to, you know, single moms and whoever. If you have a little baby or if you have a little kid and they start talking about their imaginary friend, please listen to them and ask them questions and let them talk. Because, one day they're going to need help. Because, and I'll tell you why they're going to need help, because you ignored them. You told them that they were crazy. You told them to shut up, that they didn't want to hear it. And it's just going to mess their brains up. Let them tell you about their imaginary friends. Let them tell you about the ghost. Let them tell you. And listen to them. Listen to your children. You know, give your children wow. And I don't know. Dog the bunny hunter. Tell them to F off. Yeah, right, dude. Nah. But just help your children out. It's getting up on the midnight hour. I still got about 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to be closing shop here. But next week, I'm going to try to find a guest, and then we're going to, you know, and then we can sit down and talk. So I got this message from Divided Tooth number 13.0. A racist troll live stream is trolling your chat. Okay, thank you. So look at this. Ain't that ridiculous? Somebody trolling my chat. I got a little hour, an hour on a podcast, and a dude has to be an ass about it. You know what I mean? Why? What's the satisfaction in that? What's the satisfaction in, you know, making my life miserable? Because, dude, I'm telling you, you don't mean shit to me right now. All right, I do care about you, but you know what? If you're doing all that crap, you know, who knows? God bless you. That's all I can tell you. But it's getting close. There's one story I want to share with you when it comes to children and ghosts. And it was really cool. There was a lady called, and they called me to the house. Yeah, it's weird, Jar. That's cool, Og. Yeah, I got to get a big one because I'm a cusser. But this lady called me up, and she said that her daughter, that they had had an imaginary friend, and she told me the story on the phone. Excuse me. Here, one day, she was downstairs, and her daughter was upstairs playing in her room, and she went up and to see what was going on. And she walked through the door, and her daughter turned around and looked and said, "Here, Mommy, I want you to meet my friend Johnny." But Johnny wasn't there. Sorry. And that's when she called me. She got real nervous. She got real scared. So it was like, "Can you come over and find out what's happening?" Said sure. So we went over, come to find out there was ghosts, and there was a bad ghost in the house. And in order for them to get my group over to the house, they actually had to use little Johnny talking to the little girl. It's a true story. It's a true story. But even though they're dead and they're in spirit, they're also smart because they also know how to get messages across and to get us there to help them out. I know I was all over the place tonight, and I guess what I had to say, I had to say. And that's okay. You know, I'm fine with it. I hope you guys were. I'll definitely have a guest on, and I don't know what we'll talk about next week. But I just had to share what tonight, you know, tonight about it. Things that I talked about. I love you all. You guys are beautiful. You know, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Okay. I'm still early in it, and I want to thank the people who do follow my show after Chasing Prophecy. And I hope to get more people to follow. You know, and it's not numbers. You know, everyone lives by numbers, but for me, knowing that I can get on here and maybe say something out of everything I said tonight, if you got something out of it that will help you in your life, you know what? You're going to be okay. And I truly mean that. Now, what I'm going to do right now is I don't know if he's listening. Joe, you listening? Because I'm done. So what I'm going to do is text him, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy Halloween, a happy, safe Halloween. I want to wish that to y'all. You know, check your candies. And if you see a spirit, say hello. Don't knock them, just say hello. And see what they want. And if it really bothers you, call a paranormal group in your area and they can come over and help you. But I do want caution, because and I've noticed this too, is that when it comes around Halloween time, a lot of people like to go out to cemeteries and take a picture or take a cameras with them and snap pictures, hopefully catch a ghost. I highly recommend that you go with somebody who knows what they're doing. Because if you don't, there's a very, very good possible chance that you're going to get screwed up. and then you're going to have to call an exorcist. It's true. So please, if you want to go ghost hunting, go with somebody that knows what they're doing, you know, because they're, and don't jump a fence to go into a cemetery. If you want to go into a cemetery, ask permission. You know, if you want to go down to another place, ask permission. Because what happens is you all jump fences and all of a sudden people start, you know, calling the police. And it's going to make life hard for all the paranormal groups here. So have a safe Halloween. And I will see you next week. It would be in November. And pretty soon we'll be taking, you know, the clocks back and get an extra hour of sleep. And my busy time of the year, because I do work in the supermarket and I am a meat cutter. Thanks, dog. I appreciate that, buddy. I am a schizo, dude. All right, brother. You have a good one, dog. All right. I got to, like, get Joe here and tell him that I'm done for tonight.